Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to Nobody Panic. I'm so bored.
Oh, yes.
So did you forget what the episode was for a minute?
Well, no, I knew, but it took me a moment to know. Yeah. So perfect.
Because in my head, you can really see the equipment.
Mm. Now, as can I now?
Yes.
But it just took me a second.
Of course.
Well, we're hoping to bring you some lighthearted relief. What do you need? Because you're in hospital.
Exactly.
Hello.
Number one, hello, listen to this podcast.
It's us, your bedside manner pals.
Yeah.
Well, it's something to distract you, isn't it?
It is. We could do a guided hospital stay, but then we'd have to do it for 10 days and that'd be all.
Oh,
like, for
just us relentlessly.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
No, this is possibly, some of you are actually listening. This has been sent to you from a well-meaning friend who does mean well when they send this to you, and you're like, I don't like it.
No,
but they were trying to offer you some light relief. This is a how to endure a long hospital stay. It's a toughie.
It's a toughie, and also it's so varied, because it's like, okay, well, the difference between a long hospital stay, if you're in a private hospital, if you're in an NHS hospital, very, very different. If you're listening from the UK, I don't know about any other countries, what your hospitals are doing, but also as well, like, why you're there, you know, if you've broken your leg or if you've got something that is like you know, not going to mend, you know. And I think we're going to stay on the side of just a hospital stay that, you know, at some point you will be leaving the hospital.
Yes, simply endurance.
Yes, because complicated medical, psychological approaches are not our strong suit.
No,
I was going to say,
not our strong suit. Yes, yeah.
We don't know. So really sorry if your friend has sent you this. It's two women going, we don't know. Are you okay?
We don't know. Good luck.
But even if you're in hospital for something, like I said, broken leg. So that was like, you know, you're in there for a broken leg. It's scary, it's painful, it's boring, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming in how boring it is. Also as well, like, at every point, someone could come in and tell you something else that you have to do that might be really painful.
So absolutely.
You're like constantly on edge as well. Like, oh God, what's this? What are you going to do now? Yeah. There's a lot of that.
God, guys.
Oh God.
Anyway, this goes out to, I mean, it goes out to everyone.
It does.
But it was inspired in December by a lovely listener called Tash, who we send much good wishes and grapes down the post to you.
Grapes down the post.
These are audio grapes that we're sending you. Tash wrote to us in December from hospital where she'd gone in with a broken leg and hopefully now is out and on the mend, but sent us, she wrote at the end of her email just to say, excuse the morphine writing this email, !
Yes.
But we thought,
Tip one, lots of morphine.
But nonetheless, we thought we would address hospital stays.
Yes, because also my mum was in there for sort of around the same time as Tash, maybe a little bit before, like three weeks in November. And because also, like, I've never touched all the wood. I've never had a long hospital stay. And I haven't really spent that much time in hospitals at all. So that was like the first time when I went in every day. And she suggested this episode as well. She was like, oh, it might make a good Nobody Panic. And I was like, you should come on. She's like, no, I couldn't possibly.
No, thank you.
So I did asked people who follow me on Instagram to give us some tips, and then mum also gave me some tips via that. Like, you could have just texted me, mum, if you're listening, but I like it. I don't think she realizes I can see it's her. Yeah, so we've got some, so we'll basically be led by the advice of those who have experienced it. And already, spoiler alert, before we get into our most adult thing we've done this week, about 60% of the advice is either just the word snacks or bring snacks.
Okay.
So that's obviously like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be quite hard, I think, because if you're on morphine or if you're on certain medications, you can also not be hungry. Mm. And you cannot, like, and so that can be really hard too. But as long as you've got like nice things around you that you can be like, well, when I get hungry, I'm going to absolutely, I was going to say, muller that watermelon. Well, watermelon's obviously a bad snack to bring in. But, you know, nice chocolates, lint balls, that sort of stuff.
Lint ball, oh my. Yeah. Like yeah.
Protein,
ooh, lovely good bits.
Protein bars as well. So you feel like you're like doing something helpful to help your body knit back together.
Get the stuff in. Mmm, delicious. I equally, touching wood, have been very lucky to remain out of hospital. I spent some time with my granddad a couple of years ago. Have you seen Succession? All of Succession?
Of course.
Now, sorry, this is not a spoiler, but I'm certainly going to reference an episode. In one of the episodes, Logan Roy starts being quite incoherent and saying like quite baffling things, referencing stuff that isn't happening, wanders off. And I was, before the characters did, was like, he's got a UTI, he's got a kidney failure, he's got the piss mad, he's gone piss mad. And then a bit later, everyone was like, he's gone piss mad. And I was like, hooray, I knew it. My granddad had that. He had a catheter for something separate, and then I actually don't know the logistics of what happened, but nonetheless, urinary tract failure and things went awry. And it is so recoverable from, as happens to Logan Roy, it passes very quickly, but the immediate onset looks pretty much like dementia.
Yes.
And so when Grandad went to hospital, sort of over his head to my grandma, they kept being like, and has he got dementia? And she was like, genuinely, no. It sounds like we're lying, but no. While he's like, who am I? But I was like, and then he was just put on a ward with all other gentlemen who all had the same thing. So they were all piss mad. And you go and see him and he'd be like, what kind of dog is that? What kind of dog is that? And you'd be like, I don't know, Grandad. What kind of dog do you think? And he'd be like, I think it's a terrier. And you'd be like, I think it's a terrier as well. But it'd be like a man's foot.
Right, okay.
Whereas my grandma was going, there's no dogs in here, Don. Oh, God. And you'd be like, Grandma, just roll with it.
Yes.
Anyway, the point of this story is just that while we're all being like, yeah, what is that kind of dog? And like, just he kept saying that there was a thing at the window. He'd go, at the window, and then pops up, peekaboo. Like this, peekaboo, and then you can't see me, but I'm wiggling my fingers on my head, and that was a key part of it.
Like a chicken wattle.
Like a chicken wattle, like these four little fingers on the head, wobbling, and he'd go, out the window, it's peekaboo, there it is. And then other men in the ward also started saying that they could also see the peekaboo at the window, and they would all miming that it was popping up and down, and this, and we were all like, yes, well, I guess it is a terrier. And then it turns out they were on the ground floor of the hospital. There was an escaped peacock in the grounds, and the only people it was visiting was the piss mad gentleman who, every time they tried to tell that there was a peekaboo at the window, everyone was like, "That's right, yeah, I bet there is."
Oh God!
And it would come and it would do its full
thing. That's full doing thing. Their hands.
Yeah, and it's showing its thing and doing its full thing. And of course, nobody believed them. Anyway, that's my experience
that's
of hospitals.
A tip
bit
is,
of fun there.
Is if there's a peacock, listen to people when they say
listen,
it's
but
there.
Also. Sometimes they
go
think there's a dog, so
there's a dog.
Hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
God. Hospitals.
Hospitals, a place. Before we get into the advice and tips that you sent in, what's the most adult thing you've done this week, Tessa?
Thank you for asking, Stevie.
You're welcome.
Mine is that I, in a email chain with a man.
Yes.
Crucial information.
Yes.
It was somebody just organising some dates for something. He said that the time for something was at this time. And it wasn't. I looked back on the chain. And I was like, you said it was at this time. And my instinct was to be like, oh, my mistake. Oh, whoopsie. Silly old me. Because I'd already said, I thought it was at this time. Because that's what you said. Mm. And he was like, no, it's at 12 o'clock. And so I went back. I checked. I fact checked myself. I was in the right. And my instinct was to be like, oh, dear. And then, but then I said... I was like, come on, girl, you're not in the wrong. And what do we know? We mustn't just let men say things and we all say, oh, whoopsie, my mistake.
It's noon when it's not.
I'm ever so sorry. I think you might have not attached the attachment. I'm ever so sorry. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, and so I said, I think this is where we went awry.
Yeah, very good.
I still had to do us both. I couldn't just say you fucked up. And I sent like quite a stern email saying, just explaining why I thought that, because this is what I'd been told. And I felt very brave and powerful. And he didn't reply for about an hour, and then just sent two separate emails with a with a link to the new time, and then was like, for clarity, putting them in a new email. So he didn't apologize or anything, but it felt like a small, a small step that at least I didn't apologize
for his
mistake. Yeah, it's tough. Emails, come on, could Gmail get on our side?
I just
Gmail, come on.
It's almost like Google isn't on the side of the people.
It's almost like it's Google Mail.
For mail. Google for mail.
Could it be, could it err towards the side of an apologetic female who just wants to prove that she wasn't in the wrong, actually?
G-female.
G-female. Please sign up to our new email platform.
So much of that.
Bit of fun. Are we distracting you yet in the bed?
Yes.
Is this helpful?
Maybe you are being distracted.
Please, Stevie, what's your adult thing of the week?
So my adult thing is linked to a topic of the podcast that I was hoping by now I'd be able to not only do, but lead on, because I would have passed my driving test, but I haven't. I haven't taken it yet.
Okay.
If anyone follows me on Instagram, you will know this. I signed up to a semi-intensive course. I'll do it over 2 months rather than a week or a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do 2 5-hour lessons a week.
Great.
And that's what I did. And it took me a little bit longer, I paid for 40 hours. And when we got to the 40-hour mark and I still wasn't ready to take my test, this was like before Christmas, I was really devastated. I was like, oh, I'm just bad. I'm bad at driving. Each 5-hour lesson is obviously really expensive.
Yes.
It's like £225 in cash. And so then from December, I've been paying that every time I've done my lesson. And that cycle, and also I'm sort of slightly not as liquid as I would like cash wise at the moment. And that mixed with also like loads of life things, meaning that it's just been quite busy and quite stressful, led to like the other day me doing another lesson and just getting in. And you just keep saying, you're in your own head, like you need to relax, like what is wrong with you and all of this stuff. And I just like sort of, we had a break near an Asda because there's a cash machine there, and I get out £225. And I was like, oh my God. And I went to go get it. And I was like, I actually can't do this. I actually cannot do another lesson like this. I can't get into that car with that man and drive for 5 hours out of this area. I don't want to. And I feel like this for a long time, but I've been like, push through, you weak pussy ass bitch. And everybody else does it. And then I went back and I was like, I'm going to stop and I'm going to have a break. And then I'm going to go to another instructor. I'm really sorry. And do 2 hours a week. And I found a woman called Beryl who does 2 hours a week. And she says like that she helps you with your confidence. And I was like, thanks, Beryl. My confidence is really low. I've done 80 hours and I'm shit. And I'm not shit. I can do all of the maneuvers. I can do all of the stuff. But there's just a psychological block, which comes from stopping at Asda and getting £225 in cash out every single
time.
Is that
the beginning or the end?
Halfway through.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so it's a real downer. It's a real downer.
Yeah.
And I don't think 5 hours at a time is helpful for me.
No.
I think 2 hours would actually add, could we get more done? Because you just go straight through rather than having a fucking break every 5 seconds. But yes, so that was a very adult thing for me to do because I normally like to just go through until I start crying or have a nervous breakdown. And I did stop before that point and accepted that it's not a failure, that I need a break and I maybe need to approach it in a different way from now on, that it's actually like a positive thing. And just because like, you know, all his other students have done it, you know, in less time than me, apparently, that doesn't mean I'm bad at driving. It just means that like, I'm taking longer to get to grips with this death machine that I'm, you know.
100%. Have you started with Beryl yet?
No, I start with Beryl in 3 weeks' time.
I'm really excited for your journey with Beryl. So brave of you when you're like, actually, this is one isn't serving me. Let's pivot. Yes. And there's no failure here. We're just pivoting to something that does serve me.
Pivoting to Beryl.
Pivot to Beryl.
Okay, right.
Well, you're nothing if not distracted, I would say. The listener in the hospital bed is nothing if not really on a journey here.
Yes.
As they desperately wait for the tips to how to endure this day. Oh, look.
It's happening.
It's already happening.
Number one, listen to podcast.
You've already completely forgotten you're in hospital.
That was...
tick.
Tick. And that was a tip that I was going to say is the top tip, because when mum was in hospital, she had hurt her back and her neck, so she couldn't move or sit up for 2 weeks. And so she was like lying flat, so she couldn't see anything at all. She couldn't even like really chat to other people or anything, or like it was just everything in her line of vision was just the ceiling.
Ugh.
It was really horrible. And so me and Gina, my sister, and actually then my partner, The Shadow, also did it as well. We recorded fake podcasts for her about her points of interest. And then also my partner did sleep stories. So he just talked about like Dolby Atmos sound and
good.
Transfer windows in American sports. But actually turned out she was quite interested. She's like, he kept saying every like 10 minutes, you're probably asleep now, but I'm going to keep going. But I wasn't, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, there's something lovely about a familiarity of,
yes,
of being like, you know, because you can visit during the visiting hours, but then when you're alone at night, just to have like, you know, you guys there in her ear, listening, chatting, talking about her interests, what a beautiful thing to have made for her.
Yeah. So I suppose if you're in hospital, ask your loved ones to record voice notes for you, just talking about like fun shit.
They'll probably be delighted to be given such a specific quest.
Yes, a thing to do to help. Yeah. Isn't like have more grapes, even though grapes is tip number two.
That's so.
Because you need something to block out the weird beeping sounds. And often you're with other people in the ward, like you said, in the piss mad gentleman's ward.
Yeah.
Sometimes other people can be having like a really bad time and it sort of bums you out.
Was she in the same bed, the actual same physical room? She moved about a lot.
She moved about for the first little bit, but then she was in the same.
Could you have rigged up an iPad with like a Meccano setup, so it was like directly above her head?
You'd hope for that, but no, because there's so much going on. Like, you know, at 5 a.m. is when like they're woken up, and then suddenly there's medication happening, or then there's a weird beeping thing, or she needs to get up to go to the bathroom. You'd think it would be at least kind of relaxing and boring, but it is boring. But there's so many things happening that you can't even just get into a rhythm.
There's no night or day. There's simply time passing.
Yeah, so that was the thing that I sort of thought, well, it's all right. It's not all right, but you just sleep or you just...
Watch Succession, you know.
Watch Succession. But you kind of can't watch Succession unless, you know... Well, you can, but you can't rig it up to the ceiling.
No.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's like on Meccano and then on wheels, so you could wheel it back and forward. Over her head. Well, but if I built it, it would drop directly onto her face. And now the face, that's gone. So
yeah.
She's in hospital for that as well.
That is the fear. And especially if you're in a quite busy NHS hospital, the nurse would be like, can you not erect that Meccano structure around that patient, perhaps?
Who's made that? Oh, my daughter's co-podcast host has built me this and wheeled it in over top me. And I can't raise my arms. I can't turn it off.
It's just
trapped there.
It's just on the whole time. And that's the thing.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How many people were on the ward with her?
About 10.
Gosh.
And then there was a woman around the corner who was just screaming the whole time. And that's just so sad and upsetting to hear. And you just, and then people are getting rushed in and out all the time as well, because people get rushed in and that they've like just, like a woman had just fallen off her horse and had broken her neck. And it's like, oh God. And so then she's really upset because she's new to the ward, whereas everyone else there had been there for a while. So they're kind of like in their own kind of
in their own
vibe.
Rhythm.
Yeah. And a thing that someone here said, which I thought was really good, is don't be afraid to press the buzzer and call for a nurse if needed, and don't be afraid to bother anyone. That's like, basically, it was just a room full of women that didn't want to bother anyone. And just being like, I'll hold it. I don't need the toilet that much. You're like, well, you do. Like, and there's nothing worse. The only thing worse than being in that bed is like being in that bed and feeling guilty for asking for anything. You know, feeling bad for being like, I'm really hungry. Like, I know there's been a meal, but are there some biscuits?
Yeah.
Like, and there always are. And like, or like, I'm in pain and the morphine isn't enough, or the doctor came and explained something, but I didn't actually know what he meant. Like, could someone explain it to me? Like, there's all you'll never. It's hard because while I was there, it did feel. I'm sure it depends on what hospital you're at, but the hospital we were at was so understaffed. It was like astounding. So you can feel like you are a bother because in those moments you sort of, everybody is a bother because the nurses don't have enough time. Mm. But that doesn't mean you should, like, that's not your problem. Like, that's the government's problem and the nurses, and that's a whole separate thing. But you can't let your health or your comfort be second best just because it's like, oh, she's got so many people to look after.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's so important, forcing yourself to advocate for yourself. My tiny experience of that is that several winters ago, I got very sick and eventually went to the doctors revealed I had been coughing up blood, and then they like moved me into the like tuberculosis unit to be like tested for everything, and I was absolutely fine, but they were so cross with me, like genuinely very cross. They were like, how long has this been going on? And I was like, weeks. And they were like, weeks? They were like, you've been coughing up blood. And I was like, and I literally was like, I didn't want to be a bother. Like, I didn't think it was that big a deal. And they weren't like, oh no, you must always, they would like genuinely cross of being like, this is what the service is for. Like, you have to, we can't mind read and come into your house to help you. Like, you have to be saying what's wrong and putting your hand up. It really like shocked me into trying to be better about health things, because I really thought their thing would be like, oh no, come on, always let us. It was like,
come on, babe.
They were really cross.
Yeah.
Marching me to the tuberculosis ward. Like, coming up blood for weeks, hasn't said a thing. I was like, furious with me. So yeah, it makes their job easier, but like the nurses can't be guessing that you need help or anything. Just putting your hand up to be like, these are the things I need. And also, you can't do it for yourself. You have to say, please, I need the toilet, you know?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing.
Which is also a huge thing to get your head around, of like relinquishing your dignity and your pride and your independence and all of those things, because now suddenly someone has to help you do these like very basic tasks that you used to be able to do.
Yeah, that was a big one, I thought. It was just like the toilet stuff was just like, nobody should have to, especially if you've gone in there for something that means you can't, like, go to the toilet properly. My mum was just like, it was horrible. And the only way she didn't really say anything about it to us for ages. And then something happened and she was really upset and it was just really horrible and she felt really sad. And so then I was saying like, well, you should do
the catheter?
The bedpan.
The bedpan.
Yes. Which you think, okay, it's just like a potty, or you just go, but like, you know, if you're lying down horizontally and you can't get up, and you have to go to the toilet in essentially what is like a very flat egg box that doesn't really have any sides.
No.
Well, it must be the worst experience ever. So the only way she could get through it was like me be like asking the questions and like talking about it, and like I was like, you should come on and do a Nobody Panic episode called How to Use a Bedpan, like, and because you must have some like techniques, like try. And she was like, no, I don't. I was like, well, you've got to go in there with like, okay, so next time I'm going to work out how, what, like, the best way. Like, you've got to separate yourself from the horror of it, like, yeah, and just be like, well, there's going to be a point where I'm not going to have to do this, so I'm going to learn. I'm going to like figure out the bedpan hack, you know, or I'm going to
investigative journalist style.
You become an investigator. You become Emily Metlis of the bedpans.
You had to be that of the bedpan world.
Yeah,
exactly right. I think there's a reason that like people that you have this like matronly attitude to being a nurse or being a paramedic or anything that has this like, come on, let's you know,
yeah,
because there's just no space to be anything other than like practical and pragmatic, and we're getting
there
it
was
done.
Something that someone said, which is like, if one of the staff is mean or you don't like them, like, do complain. That was the other thing. It's like, there's so few staff, but there was one woman who was just fucking horrible to mom like one night, and we were so angry, and she complained, and after we were like, you've got to come in, she was like, no, I will, I was like, fucking will. And then, you know, that woman was just like, just put on a different ward. I mean, God help everyone else who's on the ward, but like, if you don't say anything, that woman's going to come every night and do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Because like, there are people who are wonderful and caring, and then there are some people who work in hospitals who aren't very nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, God bless the NHS, but if there are also dicks in there, just like everywhere.
There are dicks everywhere.
And then super long phone cable for charging. Just simple and practical.
Get
Fantastic. Someone to bring you a super long phone charger.
Perfect.
Yeah.
8 meters.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Perfect.
Don't fuck it, but, you know.
Yeah,
well, we can if you want.
Other
little bit of advice for you.
I'm really captivated, but I'm also really got a lot of emotions.
Yeah, it is an emotional one. And I think that was the other thing that someone said, which I think is very true, is like, it's okay to like fucking hate it.
Yeah.
So like my friend WhatsApped me with a bunch of things. He was in hospital loads a few years ago. And so much of it is like just trying to kind of personalize it as much as you can, because the hospital routines are so depersonalizing. And I think that's why it feels so shit, is suddenly you're coming into contact with like the fact that our bodies can fail. You're also seeing what else could happen, because there's loads of other people around you being like, well, this happened to me. And you're like, I didn't even know that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? You see people who are worse off than you, and then you feel really like scared and better off than you. And then you feel really jealous. Also as well, unfortunately, often you don't know when you're going home. So it's just like, well, you're going to have to stay for a few weeks. And people are quite vague about it because the waiting times are really bad. So you can just feel like you're not a person. So Sam said, set yourself your own routine for showering and getting dressed and like being a person every day that you're there. And if you can't get dressed or you can't, like, you can have, you know how like you made me a long haul flight little toilet bag, like have a little thing there, which is like, okay, so every few days you do a little face mask. You've got your nice, like you've got some like lavender spray for your pillow. You've got, make sure that they're changing your pillowcase. Like, some people here are like, decorate your room in the way you're like, oh, your room is it, right? Well, that's obviously a very particular type of hospital. But often you won't have a room. It'll just be like the little touches you can put on your bedside table. And even things like flowers and grapes can make you feel like, oh, yes, I'm in a hospital, I'm ill. Whereas if you've got something from your house, it can make you feel like a bit connected with yourself rather than just like you're playing a scene from Holby City, which is, I used to watch a lot of when I was younger. But any film that has a hospital in it.
Yes. Even here, sometimes you get moved to a room. If you've got something, you've got to go be completely on your own in the contagious unit. So, and then
even
it's like,
if you can bring anything in when you're
and then it's like horrible on the ward because there's all these other people doing their own thing and being noisy. Horrible on the bit if you're totally on your own because you're so lonely in there. Horrible everywhere, really.
Yeah, there's not a nice part of the hospital.
No, there's not a nice part, and it is just an endurance thing of just like digging deep and getting through it, which is so tough.
Yeah, really, really tough. And he also said, take nice PJs. Like your favorite pajamas, use all your best stuff, like your best hand cream. Also, get all nice stuff from M&S, and don't rely on hospital Wi-Fi.
Okay.
To try and get people to download stuff onto your phone or your iPad, like, before they come in. Pretty much all hospitals have Wi-Fi, but if it breaks, it's not anyone's priority to fix it, because they've got more important things to be doing.
Sure.
Take your own nice tea bags and nice coffee, because
lovely.
The coffee and tea is always shit. Those little things. And then maybe have okay, well, it's time now. It's that time. It's tea time now for me. Not waiting for the tea woman to come round.
Yeah, it's tea time for me.
Yes, it's tea time for me now. It's my nice.
It does
tea.
Have some crossovers with flying economy.
It's very similar.
Very similar. So I think I can speak with some confidence, having flown economy. Just what you're saying about the making the first class bag,
yeah.
You know, and a bit, basically all my suggestions about flying long haul.
Yeah.
Obviously you can't, there's no peeking behind the veil, because there's no better version of what you're experiencing, but there is a crisp for madam. You know, there is this constant care and but it has just, you have to be the air stewardess and the person.
Yeah.
And you sort of have to just be constantly saying, my lovely tea bags, my lovely things, my lovely pillowcase, my lovely pajamas. I'm not just going to have the horrible blanket and the horrible pillow. Get some nice bits.
Like, you can bring some nice, good crisps.
And again,
it's time for the good crisps.
People are desperate for requests. So to say, could I please have the nicest pudding you can find?
So many people here are saying, don't worry about asking people for things. Don't worry about asking people when they come and visit to bring things. And that's, it was so good when mum was like, could you bring those pajamas? And is it okay if I get, and it was like, yeah. Like, at one point, I think she was like, could I have some crackers and cheese with piccalilli on it? And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
So made that, and then got on the bus, and it was like, I felt like I'd helped rather than just, you kind of, because when you're visiting, all you want to do is take them out of the hospital. There's nothing you can do to actually help, but practical things. Yeah. Like, that's why we did the podcast, or downloading things onto a phone, problem solving all the time. If I was just lying there for weeks and I felt like shit, what would I like?
Yeah.
And then just take that.
Exactly. But then it's so hard to get into the right mindset. So the moment that you're
because you've learned economy, of course. So.
Of course I can. What do I need an economy? Crisps. Crisps, but okay, I'd be fine at it. I'd bring you so many eye masks, you know.
Well, that's probably so good. Yeah, eye masks and there was also the air quality is so, it's all dry, so we've got we brought loads of nice moisturizer and made sure that all our skin was nice and moisturized, and just the comfy PJs that, because I would think immediately, I want my most elegant pajamas to just, you know, but actually just your really cozy ones that make you go
so it's just your coziest,
absolutely,
your cashmere's, your smalls, your warm and cozy, your poo bear.
Oh yeah, if you can, and if you're in the, someone said that they got into knitting.
Oh yeah,
because it's low energy, low effort. I'd say if you don't know how to do it completely, I found it quite high effort actually. But I'm aware that that's me. If you're it's something that's quite what other sort of things could you do that are quite calming, like doodling or
people go into colouring books that I know.
Colouring books.
And also embroidery, weirdly.
Interesting. I don't really know what embroidery is, I think.
Imagine a round.
Yes, that's what I'm imagining, but what's that for? Oh, just for itself. It's,
I think,
just
that
art.
Just keeps it tight. I think.
So remove the circle.
Yeah, and I think
then
you
put it on something.
And then what?
Then what do you do? Frame it.
Well, try your hand at embroidery, everyone.
And then tell me what happens.
And then tell me what it is.
Yeah, the moment you can, and if you want to, chatting to other patients and taking the time to get to know them or ask them questions or can be quite rewarding, because you'll all be together for a while, and it kind of adds a little bit of something if there's some sort of narrative going of there's a new person, have you heard about them?
And there's a peacock at the window.
There's a peacock at the window, and exactly. Find your own personal peacock
get
window.
A little vibe going in the, yeah.
Because also everyone understands if you're having a day where you don't want to talk, that's fine. I think hospitals are quite pure in that sense of she was chatty yesterday, no one's going to kick off because you're not chatty today.
Yeah.
You're in agony probably, so Yes, nice smelling things in capital letters, especially soap, okay. So you don't smell like a hospital. That is so true. Don't be afraid to ask what something is, which is so true. It's like, we're gonna do the thingy thing, and you're like, what's that? Or like, ask what the pills are for, or ask what the, you know, side effects of something is. Loop earplugs, if you've got someone in hospital and you want to give them something nice. Loop earplugs, I've just got them just because I don't like the, I actually just wear them when I'm walking around London because it's too loud. I'm a sensitive soul. They are little, tiny, beautiful little earplugs that go in there, and you can pop, they look really nice on the outside, and you can pop a little extra addition to make them super quiet. And they're basically noise cancelling without the big cans over your head. So Loop would be a good thing to get someone who's going into hospital as well.
That sounds so nice.
Don't Google other people who've had the same thing as you. I think, because that's not helpful, is it?
I would simply remind myself of the sheer miracle of modern science.
Thank God that you're not in the Victorian era,
right?
Or before.
Because you'd be gone.
Yeah.
That's you out. Hundreds of years have gone on into the technology to make this work.
Yeah.
To people to work out how this injection or this bit of machinery or these things work. And there's sort of something quite incredible about that, even when it's all very, otherwise very dark.
Yeah. And it is amazing what you can, as a person, get through and withstand.
I think there's so much that you can survive. And the human body is incredibly... is incredible and is also incredibly and the mind is incredibly resilient, and you will survive it.
Yes,
you have to dig deep, smell your nice smells, have your nice snacks, charge everything you've ever seen.
Just go around charging things. Keep set up your own routine that is independent of the hospital's routine. Obviously, a bit of like, don't just completely ignore all the hospital routine, because you have to take your medication and you have to like do things. But they'll bring you your little meal that you'll be like, Jesus Christ. But you can have your own food too.
Oh look. Yeah. Madam a crisp.
More
better things are coming because you asked for them and you advocated and you're doing so well. And if you are in hospital listening, we hope that this offered a distraction, if nothing else.
Yes.
If you have suggestions from the hospital bed, please do write into us. We'd love to hear from you. You're at nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. And
feels like you should do your Gandalf, this too shall pass.
No, that's
you shall not pass.
It is, yeah, but the essence is the same. Just imagine Gandalf saying,
who said this too shall pass?
It actually nobody, can you believe? Was it Jesus or was it Gandalf? Either way, my friend, this too shall pass. You will endure it, you will survive it. You're doing great.
Tom Hanks
said it in tiny little incremental steps.
Abraham Lincoln apparently said it too.
Every motherfucker has said it.
I mean, I suppose I've said it. Great. This too shall pass, in the words of Abraham Lincoln and Tom Hanks.
Ooh, we love you. We're sending you good luck and grapes for the audio. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.